Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And Toby Altizer taking you up until 10 o'clock. See if we can sneak in some college football playoff talk here in just a little bit. But I want to continue with the NFL, switching over to the whole league. This weekend, week 16, some clinching scenarios around the NFL. Go through those, take a look at the playoff picture. Also want to take a look at some teams around the NFL that are going to need quarterbacks. How's that going to dictate what happens in the draft? I'm a sucker for the NFL draft. One of my favorite things on the calendar. Unfortunately for me, I know a lot of people are big college football fans, and I am as well, but I kind of watch everything through the lens of the NFL. And that's what I'm going to be doing with the college football playoff. I'm fired up to watch some of these games, but a lot of times I'm watching to see, is this a draft prospect or is this not a draft prospect? I enjoy the games, but I'm a sucker for the NFL draft, so I can't wait. And thinking about the NFL draft and quarterbacks coming out in the class and guys that are going to be available as free agents, I want to talk about quarterback needy teams and what could happen for them coming up in the offseason and how that will affect Washington. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But taking a look at some of the playoff clinching scenarios this weekend. So the Buffalo Bills have a chance to clinch. If they win and Houston loses or Indianapolis loses, they'll clinch a playoff berth. Bills are likely in regardless. Nothing to really worry about there. But I'm curious to see with the AFC. No Mahomes, no Burrow, potentially no Lamar. You've got to, if you're Josh Allen, win the AFC this year and get to the Super Bowl. And hopefully win the Super Bowl if you're them, right? You've got to. The guys that always seem to get in your way, specifically Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, how bummed are you going to be if it's Philip Rivers?
If it's Philip Rivers, it's insane that, by the way, even that was a discussion. Like, who was in the room when they're like, all right, we don't have quarterbacks. Who do we go with? Someone see what Philip Rivers is up to. I know Shane Steichen's always in contact with him, but Philip Rivers? I mean, did they make a call to Tom Brady just to check? Like, that's the wild part. You just, did they see if Peyton wanted to come back and play? Like, good grief. That's insane. That he's just like, yeah, I'll just show up and play. By the way, I wonder, what were quarterbacks around the league thinking? Like, do they want this guy to do well or do they want him to suck? Like, did they want him to do well and be like, man, Philip Rivers is awesome, he can still do it? Or did they want him to stink and you're like, guys, this job ain't that easy, I promise. You can't just sit on your couch for 5 years and come back and play quarterback. Because what if Philip Rivers came back and threw for 300? Like, they'd be like, maybe this job isn't as hard as we make it out to be.
I mean, I think the one thing that the veteran QBs always have, and I mean, you even saw this when Tony Romo started, you know, announcing or whatever, is they can still read defenses.
Yes.
You know, and they already inherently know how to do that. And rather than have to sit there and VR train someone or whatever, you can just pop a guy in and he knows how to read a defense. Now you got to learn your playbook or whatever, but you have that at least down.
They can mentally still play the game at a high level. It's whether they can physically still play the game at a high level.
Physically is, yeah, crazy. Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know what his... Is he working out at home? I don't know what he's
doing.
He's still
coaching football and doing stuff. So he was still in somewhat of shape, but it wasn't in playing shape that usually you'd see Philip Rivers in. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, yeah.
Just by looking at him. But the crazy part about playing football in the NFL is even if you can do it mentally, like there's a speed aspect to it that you just can't replicate anywhere else.
I mean, hockey's the fastest sport, right? And Gordie Howe played in his 50s.
Like, I just don't, it's insane how some of these guys can do it. I'm 27 and I can't move, so I can't imagine being 44 and rolling back in and playing quarterback. Denver Broncos have a clinching scenario this weekend. If they win and the Chargers lose, then they'll win the AFC West. They can clinch number one seed and home field advantage. If they win, the Chargers lose and the Bills lose and the Patriots lose. But they're 12-2 and they're so good. The AFC is going to be fun in the playoffs this year because there are some stout defenses. The Broncos, the Texans. I would not want to play either one of those teams in January. And I'm not particularly worried about either one of their offenses, but I'm not sure I can score.
Bo Nix looked great last week.
He did.
But will he consistently keep that up and into the playoffs? I don't know. Is he getting hot at the right time? Maybe. But we have yet to see. But he keeps playing like that, man.
Yeah, they got a shot against anybody, especially, too, when it's you know, if Bo Nix doesn't have to go out there and score 30 points. Like, if he can just go out there and I can score 21 points and win, you feel a lot better about your chances.
I know. Imagine if we had a defense like that.
Well, we have a defense where Jaden needs to score 50. And even then, it's still touch and go if you're going to win. Yeah, it's not a good feeling. Not a good feeling. The Jags have a chance to clinch a playoff berth this weekend. If they win and Houston or Indy loses, they'll clinch a playoff berth. They're playing Denver, so a couple of teams that'll hurt each other with playoff chances there. One of them's going to win, one of them's going to lose. See what happens there. The Chargers taking on Dallas. They will get in with a win, and then Houston or Indy losing. A lot of Houston and Indy in there. Patriots can clinch a playoff spot with a win. Very simple scenario for them. They can also clinch if Houston or Indy loses. So, again, Houston and Indy, a lot of teams going to be rooting against them this weekend. In the NFC, the Bears can clinch a playoff berth this weekend. If they win and Detroit loses, the Packers have the same scenario. If they win and Detroit loses, they'll clinch a playoff berth. Philly can clinch the NFC East if they win in Washington, or if Dallas loses to the Chargers. Probably likely that both of those things happen, right? Win here against Washington with Mariota starting and the Cowboys losing to the Chargers. Niners have a playoff scenario where they win or they get in with a Detroit loss. For Seattle, it's the same thing. They win and they're in, or if Detroit loses, they're in. And
Dallas is basically out, right? Like they have like they it has like to be like the Commanders have to beat the Eagles twice or something for them to win, right? Yeah. Or to
they
make
have like
the playoffs.
A very slim chance.
Yeah.
And you look at Seattle and LA tomorrow, it's going to be a heck of a football game. Looks like Davante Adams isn't going to be able to suit up for the Rams. But it's funny, you look at these. So as things stand right now, this is how the playoff seeding would look. Denver would have the first round bye and the one seed overall for the AFC. The 4-5 matchup would be Steelers and Chargers. The 3-6 matchup would be Jags and Bills. And the 2-7 matchup would be New England and Houston. It's so interesting because I could see any one of those teams in the AFC going on a run.
I don't think the Jags will.
I could see it potentially if they keep rolling a little bit. Maybe the
There's so many stacked defenses this year in the AFC.
That's the thing. The Jags probably are the least likely. Pittsburgh isn't probably that likely, but what if they just get rolling at the right time? Chargers with Justin Herbert, if he just gets on a heater, he can be just as good as anybody in the league, although he's one of those guys that it's a bunch of ifs. He hasn't really shown it to me yet, but at the same point, the talent is there. Buffalo, we know with Josh Allen, anything's possible.
I'm worried Herbert's going to end up like a Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, man, this kid's really good. He's really good, but like never gets over that hump. But we'll see.
Houston's the sneaky one because New England is really, really good. We're still trying to see how good they are, right? With they've had some good wins. They've had that loss last week. We're like, okay. But I think they're a good football team, but I would not want to play Houston in the first round. That defense is nasty.
Yeah, their defense is tough, man, especially when they're healthy. Oof.
But you look at that side of the bracket, it seems like some heavyweights just going to be throwing some haymakers on that side. especially with the defenses on that side. You look at the NFC, Packers-Bears is the 2-7 matchup right now.
I feel like this is the LA's to lose.
It definitely is. Eagles and Niners would be the 3-6 matchup, and then Tampa and Seattle would be the 4-5 with the Rams having the 1 seed in the NFC. The Rams are the best team in the league, in my opinion. I don't know that it's even all that close. Defensively, some of the freaks that they have on that side of the football, Jared Verse is so good. Like, they traded all those first-round picks for years, and then they finally had one, and they took Jared Verse. That dude is an animal on that side of the football. Matt Stafford is playing at an MVP-type level. I think it's either him or Drake May. Those two guys are playing at such high levels, but Stafford with Puka Nacua and then with Devontae Adams, who's probably out this week. Hopefully it's not something that lingers too long. But they're playing at a high level. They got good running backs. Blake Corum's coming on now as the backup guy to Kyren Williams, kind of using a 1-2 punch there. Sean McVay is a genius. They're so good. Tampa, I don't really believe in all that much. They have really fallen off. And there's still a chance they don't even win the division, and Carolina wins it over them. Seattle, they got a spectacular defense. San Francisco, no one's even talking about them right now. And maybe they just get things rolling. Christian McCaffrey, still a beast. George Kittle still can play. They've got a defense with Robert Saleh back there. Green Bay and Chicago. It kind of depends. For Chicago, I like what they're doing. It kind of just depends on their quarterback play. And you can kind of say the same thing about the Packers, right? If Jordan Love is on a heater, then they could beat anybody. If Jordan Love is playing like a doofus.
He's just not consistent. I mean, that's the issue is like, if he can play that way for the whole playoffs, but do you think he can?
I don't know. That's the thing. It's we haven't seen him do it. And then for Philly, they're Philly, right? They you don't know what's going to show up. But would it surprise you at all if two of the last three games against Washington, they kind of right the ship and all of a sudden they're rolling. Saquon's running it downhill going into the playoffs and they find themselves in an NFC championship game or even the Super Bowl. Would it surprise anybody? I don't think it would. Because this is a Philly thing, right? Distractions, people yelling at each other.
I have a feeling they're going to go kill us in Week 17, a game that we don't really care about, and they probably won't care that much, and they're going to roll into the playoffs thinking their S don't stink. And
so you think they're going to go in a little bit too high and mighty and get beat?
That, I mean, that's what I think could happen. They come in and they think, you know, it's Philly, man.
They're the weirdest team ever. I swear they hate each other in the locker room, and then they just go out and win football games.
And they have a lot of talent.
They're still incredibly talented.
It's like these like bands you hear about where like the guys all hated each other, but they're putting together these amazing songs and stuff. You're like, how did you work with people like that?
Let me say this. I hope you're right. I hope they make terrible music and lose in the first round of the playoffs. I don't want to see any part of another parade in Philadelphia.
No, I'm tired of that.
Sticking with the NFL, plenty of quarterback needy teams around the league. What do we think they will do in 2026? We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Talking about the NFL, I want to take a look at some quarterback needy teams and potentially what could happen this offseason and how that potentially could affect Washington and the NFL draft. So part of the reason I wanted to talk about this, we found out something interesting today with the Miami Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa is headed to the bench. And I don't know that that's hugely surprising, especially after what we heard, kind of the indecision from Mike McDaniel a couple of days ago, and not necessarily backing that he's going to be the guy. But it's at least a little bit interesting that you ultimately move off or move Tua. He'll be the third guy. You don't want to risk any injury there. And just in case, you know, you want to move on from him in the offseason. And just looking at some of the numbers for him, it is insane. First of all, that they gave him that contract. And if you look at right now, if they were to move off of him and cut him, trying to find specifics on some of this. Dead cap hit next year would be $99 million. That's insane. If they were to, let's see, if they were to cut him after, let's see, in 2026, if they were to release him pre-June 1, they would take on a dead cap hit of $99 million. If they were to cut him post-June 1 and designate it as that, which they probably would, it'd still be a dead cap hit of $45 million. That's so much. And that's what you were talking about earlier, Chris.
That's enough for a good quarterback.
Right? That's what you were talking about earlier, where even if you're a mid-quarterback.
Look what Trevor Lawrence's contract. I mean, he's not the worst quarterback in the league, but he's not the best quarterback in the league.
No, even if you're a mid-quarterback, you can make a lot of money in this league.
Kirk Cousins, you know, he's made a career of this.
He's the best ever at getting paid to be mediocre.
Got a good agent, man. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, he played his cards right. He bet on himself a couple of times here in Washington, and in turn, it has played out well for him. But the Dolphins are a QB needy team. I think they're going to use these final three games as an evaluation tool for Quinn Ewers. They kind of know what Zach Wilson is, so that's why they're going to go with Quinn Ewers, the seventh-round pick out of Texas. I don't think there's any way you go with Quinn Ewers as your starting quarterback next year with Mike McDaniel already on the hot seat. And if he keeps the job, I don't know how you roll with Quinn Ewers next year, because then you're almost assuring yourself that you lose your job unless Quinn Ewers is one of the best seventh-round pick quarterbacks you've ever seen. But I like Quinn Ewers. I think he's better than a seventh-round quarterback. But regardless, the Dolphins have the 11th overall pick. I don't know that they're in range to draft any of these quarterbacks. And the thing about this draft class at quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, likely to come out Heisman Trophy winner, probably the number one overall pick, even though I'm not necessarily high on his pro future. Dante Moore is probably my favorite of the group. It's not guaranteed that he's going to come out, especially where he plays at Oregon. There are some big donors. I don't know if you heard of Phil Knight before, but Phil Knight could probably make it's pretty appealing to return to Eugene, Oregon for another year. And Ty Simpson would be the next guy. Ty Simpson being from Bama. Imagine if he's the second quarterback, if Dante Moore does go back. Why wouldn't you want to come out if you're Ty Simpson and potentially lock in yourself as a top 10 pick, even though you might not be a true top 10 talented quarterback, haven't had the starts. But if there's only two quarterbacks, I don't know. It kind of, for him, he has to decide whether he wants the experience in college and potentially help himself out so that he can, there's no guarantees anywhere, but feel a little bit better about coming into the pros versus, you know, if you're a top 10 pick and it doesn't work out, sometimes you don't get a second chance. And so I could understand him going back to college where, you know, you can, even if stuff doesn't work out fully, you still get paid in college now and you're not risking coming to the NFL and not working out, potentially blowing your potentially one chance in the NFL. So that'll be an interesting thing. But the Dolphins are drafting 11th. Who knows what happens at quarterback there, but seems like they're going to move off Tua. You don't bench him now and decide that you're going to go roll with him next year, I wouldn't think, even though I don't know what happened to him this year. I said for a while, even as recent as a couple of years ago, that the marriage that I liked the most between play caller and quarterback was Tua and Mike McDaniel, because Tua was so good at some of these flips and different things that he liked to do, the funky behind the back and all sorts of stuff with their offense with some of the motion and run game. And he was so good rhythm and timing on some of those in-breakers to the speedy receivers like Waddle and Tyreek. I don't know where that went this year, but 15 interceptions for Tua just hasn't worked. And they might move off of him. And I don't know what they do for him next year. I don't know what they do to make a decision there. Another team that's likely to move off their quarterback, former first-round pick, former number one overall pick, Cardinals. They're in a spot where they hold the sixth overall pick. Again, I don't know if they're in position to draft a quarterback there. If you're not, what are you planning to do there? Jonathan Gannon's on the hot seat, might be fired at the end of the year. So that weighs into some of these things as well. If you're on the hot seat already and you're going to move off your quarterback, you don't want to just go get anybody. You know, some of these guys, we'll talk about in just a second, they're able to play these guys another year and just say, this isn't the year. We'll just not get a quarterback this year, and we'll continue to build up the roster, and we'll roll with what we got. That's not really the case for the Cardinals or the Dolphins, with both their coaches already on the hot seat, and I don't know who you roll with.
They benched, I think, Kyler Murray, right?
They did. They did. Yeah. And I don't know that you just signed Jacoby Brissett and do that again. So I don't know what the Cardinals
He played well out there for them, but
He's not
a starter.
But again, you know, if you're trying to keep your job, or you want to pin it to Jacoby Brissett?
I mean, I honestly think there's going to be a lot of interest in Mariota this offseason. I'll be surprised if he stays here.
Chris is over here stealing my talking points. That was one of my points.
Sorry, bud.
Eventually, I think you're going to have to pony up to try to keep Mariota, because I wouldn't be surprised if Mariota. Is that better?
Yeah, Mariota.
Mariota. I think teams are going to want him. So I don't think it's going to be a simple, he'll be back. I think they'll try everything in their power, and I would say that it's maybe pretty likely, but I don't know. We'll see. I think teams might be interested in giving him a shot.
We have complained about a lot of Adam Peters' moves on this radio station, but getting Mariota here was not a bad move.
He's been fantastic.
That was a phenomenal backup quarterback for Jaden.
Yeah, fantastic job there. And by the way, people forget, like, they just assume, like, it's Mariota. Yeah, former Heisman Trophy. Remember how it ended in Atlanta before he came here, right? Just seemingly quit on the team, it felt like. It was documented in the quarterback series on Netflix. I wasn't a huge fan of it because I was like, I don't know.
Who in sports is when you see something like that?
But
right?
Yeah, I was a huge fan. I've been a huge fan of Marcus Mariota. I got to learn to say his name. He's been a fantastic player for this team. Some other teams real quick. The Jets have the fifth overall pick. The heck are they going to do? Justin Fields isn't going to be their quarterback next year. The Colts are an interesting team. They don't have a first-round pick. They traded it to the Jets for Sauce Gardner. Are you bringing back Daniel Jones? Hoping that he can recapture some of the magic coming off the injury? I don't know.
I think you have to. I mean,
but we've seen these Achilles injuries. We've seen these Achilles injuries. These things aren't just they're the same guy next year. We've seen it now multiple times the last couple of years. It took Rodgers a couple of years to get back to a level that looked a little more like Aaron Rodgers. It took Kirk Cousins a little bit of time to
Daniel
be more
Jones
like
Jones is not as mobile as Aaron Rodgers was, though. Like, I mean, Aaron Rodgers now, but, you know.
Well, and that's the thing. Is like, how long does it take? We'll see. So that'll be interesting with the Colts. The Raiders have the second overall pick. They got Geno. Do they just decide that it's time to move on from Geno and get a quarterback to go ahead and pair with Genty? Be interesting if they got up to the first overall pick. I think they almost would be guaranteed to. But if you're drafting second, now, you know, right now the team that's drafting first overall is not taking a quarterback in the Giants. Jackson Dart's their guy, at least for the next couple of years. Could you just get Fernando Mendoza at two if they want to take Arvell Reese or whoever at number one? Maybe. But what if someone trades up ahead of you? But if they got the number one overall pick, I can almost guarantee you they're taking Fernando Mendoza. The other interesting ones are teams like the Browns. Fourth overall pick, do they just say, I don't really like the quarterback class. I'll just give Shador a full year. Understanding, too, that Dylan Gabriel will still be there likely, which is funny because that would be an interesting dynamic in that quarterback room for another year, especially if Shador is the starter. But you could probably just roll into next year with that. But again, you have to look at a coach on a hot seat there with Stefanski. That's an interesting one. The Vikings with J.J. McCarthy. Kevin O'Connell is on the hot seat at all, but they got to win, man.
Man.
Their roster is ready to win. Do you keep rolling with J.J.? The Falcons are interesting because Raheem Morris is on the hot seat. Is Kirk Cousins just going to come back next year? GP's floated that maybe he's considering retiring. Is that something that if Kirko retires, what the heck are you doing until Penix is coming back? Coming off another ACL tear? They don't have a first-round pick. The Saints, they don't have a coach on the hot seat. Tyler Shuck has played reasonably well for a second-round pick. I don't know that he's the answer long-term, but you probably just play him, right? Eighth overall pick is what they have right now. You probably just play Shuck, so they're probably out of the market, but I don't know that it's because they feel great about their quarterback position. And here's one that's interesting, because this is a team that lives in this spot year after year after year after year. The Pittsburgh Steelers are probably going to need a new quarterback next year. They just live in this area, right? They just live there. They're going to win 9-10 games every year. They're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs every year. They're going to find some jag quarterback to come in and lead them 9 or 10 wins. They're never going to finish below 500, but they're never going to win anything. I'd be so frustrated if I were a Steelers fan.
I'm okay with that.
I'd be so frustrated if I were a Steelers fan. I can't do that. Every year we're just going to be right in the middle and never win anything. But Aaron Rodgers has made it sound like this is probably his last season.
Yeah, the heck are they going to do? Coming back, he's made it sound pretty clear.
Well, what the heck are they going to do? They need a veteran guy because they want to go 9-10 wins again and make the playoffs. Are they suitors for Daniel Jones? Assuming they can find somebody to win for a few weeks, like what the heck are they going to do? Maybe they're going to call Philip Rivers and see if he wants to play a full year.
Yeah, call him. Oh man,
how wild! Still crazy, but a lot of quarterback needy teams, unfortunately. For Washington, that could mean two things. One, could mean that Mariota is going to be a hot commodity for some of these teams. Former number two overall pick has shown that he can be, I think, a top 32 quarterback in the league, the way that he's played this year. He's a starting caliber quarterback. I think not
low end, but yeah.
Not good.
Yeah.
But I think he could start for a...
Rather have him than J.J. McCarthy.
Correct. So I think Marcus Mariota might be a hot commodity. Unfortunately for Washington, too, on the NFL draft front, I just don't know that the quarterbacks that are going to be there are guys that people are going to want to trade up for, and I don't know that there's going to be enough of them that people will be trading up to take guys because they might all be gone already. Want to wrap things up talking about the college football playoff. Want to play some clips for you from Joel Klatt. I thought his take on no Cinderellas in the college football playoff, I think, is absolutely ridiculous. We'll talk about that next to wrap up overtime here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
I'm excited for the college football playoff. Coming up this weekend, we'll get games starting on Friday. Excited to see how the teams do. So Friday night, we get the marquee one of the first games of the playoff. Alabama-Oklahoma at 8 o'clock on Friday. Saturday at noon, Miami-Texas A&M. 3:30, going to be Tulane and Ole Miss. And locally, one that people are excited about, Oregon and James Madison. 7:30 on Saturday. Joel Klatt, I don't know exactly what show he was on, but Joel Klatt is one of the guys I respect the most talking about college football. I think he's a fantastic analyst for Fox. I think his opinions are really, really sharp. But I could not disagree more with some of his takes that he passed out recently. This one specifically on the college football playoff, talking about Cinderellas, I completely disagree with.
The reason the group of five is included in this playoff is to avoid antitrust litigation. That's it, guys. Like, we're not looking for a Cinderella. Nobody cares in football about James Madison or you know, the equivalent of George Mason going. Didn't George Mason go to the Final Four or
they
something
did.
Like
yes.
that? Nobody cares in football about that. We don't want Cinderellas. We want the best teams playing each other at the end.
So I understand his point, and this is an argument that so many people make. We just want to see the best teams. We just want to see the best teams. And I hate that because it's so selfish. It's so selfish for us. And do I want a better product on the field? Yeah, I do. I want to see good football when I turn on a college football game. Of course. What person would say no to that? Do I want to watch crappy football? No. Do I want to watch teams get blown out? No. But are we so selfish as college football fans that we think that teams that we don't deem as the best and won't drive the best ratings and won't give us the best product because we as fans don't like it, don't deserve a chance? Shouldn't be in the tournament? Shouldn't be in the playoff? It's just so selfish. And
didn't they ever see Rocky?
That's the thing that I don't get. If there's ever a country that should love Cinderella's, and that does love Cinderella's, by the way, because we're going to get to his take just after that on March Madness. We love Cinderella's. We love Cinderella's. Right? Heck, this country was a Cinderella, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Like, that's the whole... I don't get the idea. You don't want to see Cinderella's. Everyone just assumes that on Saturday, James Madison is going to get their doors blown off them by Oregon. Very well might.
Look, I got a brother that went to UCF, and you know how much I heard about how they should have a chance at the championship? And, like, there's got to be a way. There's got to be. When a team goes undefeated, I'm not talking about just some random team from where. Like, when a team goes undefeated, doing the best they can, playing all the teams that they're able to play, you got to let them have a chance. You got to let them have a seat at the table.
So the interesting part is there was another argument that I think is better. Josh Pate is another college football writer. And you could look it up on his Twitter page. He obviously says it a lot better. I'm paraphrasing what he said and just trying to remember exactly the way that he laid it out. But he brought up a valid point about not including Group of Five schools. And I can get more on board, even though I disagree with his point. I can get more on board with his point than what Joel Klatt said. So Pate's point was James Madison or Tulane did not earn the right to go to the college football playoff because they didn't take the road necessary to get there, which I can get on board with because what he's saying is Alabama or Oklahoma or Ohio State or Indiana, teams that are in, they went through a gauntlet all year. A team like Texas that didn't make the college football playoff went through a gauntlet and didn't make it because they lost three games, and you look at the teams that they're playing, you know, you went through, played Ohio State, they played Florida, they played Oklahoma, they played Vanderbilt, they played Georgia, they played Texas A&M. Like, they went through a gauntlet and didn't make it. James Madison, toughest game on their schedule was Louisville, and they lost by two touchdowns, which isn't that relevant to me. If you want to make that argument that they're not playing enough tough games to get in, I can get more on board with that than the well, no one wants to watch the Cinderellas.
But, I mean, there's already how many teams in the Big Ten and the SEC? Like, there's only so many teams that can do that path because
correct.
Of the way it's designed.
Exactly
so,
right. And so if you want to
so
say
there's
that,
a barrier that they've put up, and they're saying, well, we've made this barrier, and if you're not part of the in club, you're out. And I think that's lame.
And all they're worried about is, well, we just want to see the best teams. You're likely to get the best teams. No one thinks that Oregon isn't going to beat James Madison. Even the most avid Dukes fan is still thinking they're probably going to lose. They might keep it close. They might feel like they're going to cover the spread of 21 points. I don't think that anyone, there's some people that are delusional, but I don't think there's anyone that seriously thinks that James Madison's going to go in and beat up on Oregon.
Just saying, there's a reason they play the game.
But that is fine. No one thought the USA was going to beat the Soviets.
Nobody thought UMBC was going to beat UVA in the first round.
Yeah, exactly. So to me, I think this idea that no one likes the Cinderellas is crazy. And we were talking about this a little in G&D to finish with Wes and talking about ratings and stuff. I get his point about saying people don't watch it. But I just don't care about what the ratings are. It doesn't affect my pockets. Doesn't affect what goes on for me. I'm going to enjoy the game. I'm going to be watching Oregon and James Madison. I'm going to be paying attention. And it really doesn't do me anything.
There's an excitement that comes, too, when those like smaller schools do something incredible, too. Like, you know, I went to George Mason, seeing them get to the Final Four. That's something I knew was probably the one time in my life I'm ever going to see that. And the excitement around that and everything, Like, you're not going to get that if you went to, like, Kentucky or Duke, and, like, you're expected to be in the Final Four every year.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, like, just, that's just part of the correct. Process to them. But that excitement there, why get rid of that? Why get rid of that?
And some of the novelty of, yeah, they might get blown out. What if, though? What if? Right? Like, what if Tulane goes on a run and gets to the Final Four teams, the college football playoff? What if James Madison upsets Oregon? Be awesome. I want to talk about his next take next to wrap up. He talks about March Madness and how he thinks it's a dumb tournament. I think it's a little bit of a ridiculous take. We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. So we're talking about the college football playoff. Joel Klatt was giving an opinion saying no one wants Cinderellas in the college football playoff. And I disagree. That is a much more rational take than what he followed up this Cinderella take in the college football playoff with, saying that March Madness is a horrible tournament.
In fact, hot take. I mean, like, the hottest of all takes that I've ever had in my entire life. The NCAA basketball tournament is a joke. It's the dumbest tournament and the least fair tournament in all of sports. We go and we put teams at odd times on neutral sites in a one game affair. Like, that doesn't crown a true champion. We're not doing anything that tells us who's the best team over the course of the entire season. You know, like, if anything, the NCAA basketball tournament should act exactly like the old World Cup, which we should have groups. They should all get guaranteed three games, and they should be played at the higher seeds arena so that those seeds are rewarded for a quality game. And that way we don't just get to see, like, you know, Kentucky one and done against George Mason or something like that. Well, that's stupid.
I think that's such a horrible take.
Also, Kentucky did not lose one and done to George Mason.
No, but I think that is such a horrible take. What are some of our favorite moments in sports, and why are they some of our favorite moments? March Madness, one of them. We always say, what are the two best words in sports? Game 7. We love the NFL playoffs.
LeBron beating the Warriors that year was just nuts.
Why do we love all those so much? Because that game is win or go home. It is. And Game 3 of an NBA Finals series doesn't have the same intrigue as Game 7. It's not win or go home. It's fun. It's not win or go home. We love win or go home situations.
Well, we also love when it's championship or go home.
Yes. So,
and this is the last chance. You don't have more chances.
And one of the things that I hate is this idea. I just can't stand. One, I thought Giannis laid this out well years ago after they lost in the playoffs. I don't fully agree with it all the time, but basically saying that if you don't win a championship, your year is not a failure. But I also don't love where this idea that, well, you're not crowning a true champion. You're not crowning the true champion. Well, what the heck is a true champion? Is it just who you deem as the best team in the league? Were the Giants in 2007 not the true champion because the Patriots were the better team? Is that... What am I missing here? Win the games. That's the beauty of sports. And that's part of why I get so frustrated with these college football playoff committee and arguments. The beauty of sports, when it's at its best, and part of why you don't have to deal with this as much in professional leagues, I love when it's determined by your play on the field, on the court, on the ice, and it's not speculative. Arguing with some people around the office the last couple of days. Oh, but James Madison wouldn't beat Duke. I don't know, but that's speculation. You don't know. No idea. But when you go to a NCAA tournament, it's just a play on the court. College football playoff is a play on the field. Let James Madison or let Oregon tell me that one team shouldn't be in there. Let them tell me with the play on the field on Saturday. Let me see. Might be proved right. You also might be proved wrong. I love the fact that in sports, it's not left up to debate a lot of times. It's truly played out on the field or wherever. I like when it's like that. I hate the constant arguing about hypotheticals, which, by the way, arguing about hypotheticals is kind of like 90% of our job. So maybe I shouldn't say that.
I know.
But I just can't stand the idea that, well, it's not the true champion. What are you talking about?
I mean, also, his argument that teams shouldn't play on neutral sites is ridiculous to
me. Just go win the games.
I know.
That's the beauty of this. Go win the games. Does it mean that the best team always wins? No. But that's not what matters. If it's just about the best teams, then let's go run simulations on Madden. Let's go just stack up our rosters and see who's better on paper and crown a champion off of that. Who cares about what the quote-unquote best team is? Last man standing. That's why we love March Madness. I love Joel Klatt, one of my favorite analysts for college football. I think his take there is ridiculous. I think the take of no Cinderellas in the college football playoff is ridiculous as well. Appreciate Heavy Metal Chris doing all the hard work behind the scenes. I'm just sitting here talking. I'm Toby Altizer. Thanks for listening. Infinity Sports Network comes up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.